Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cool Down. You guys must be surprised why just Matt gave us a bit of a laugh there. Before we went on, we were five people and now we're four, but that's okay. Welcome, everyone. Nick, how's it going? I see you at XP Arena. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, man. Busy days for this man. Just rushed back from Pretoria, starting up Basti football preparations. Obviously, our first team got a disappointing result in Cape Town. So hopefully we can kick on, maybe do something special on Sunday and get promotion to the PSL. Let's see.
All the best with that promotion. Promotion push. And as you hinted, if you guys do get promoted, you'll be the manager of the DDC team.
I decline to comment. Let's wait and see if that happens.
Okay, sorry. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a bit there.
Breaking news here, Silo. Get the man in trouble.
No. I'd be considered. A lot of the boys that I coach will be there. So yeah, let's see. But it will be a good thing for the club, regardless.
Okay, no, proper. All the best for obviously the team to make it into the PSL. Matt, how's it going there? How are you feeling after a weekend of halting a quadruple or some sort or whatever?
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, I think the results itself is probably not ideal for either side, but it was probably fair on the day on for how the day went. What was more interesting to me, there was a couple of other news stories that interest me more. I think the timing of Arteta's new contract was interesting. I think they've obviously decided that he's definitely going to finish fourth. Will be super interesting to see what happens if they end up not finishing fourth, having just given him that bumper new contract. Wonga, we're not going to talk about third. Let's not be silly now. This is people come here for informed opinion and insight, and you're just guessing at stuff now. But yeah, not a bad weekend, really. Not a bad weekend at all.
Okay, no, proper. How's it going there since you just came in laughing and stuff, and you didn't even, you went off and then you're back on. What's happening, Wonga?
Yeah, I went off. People are trying to sabotage me. I'm king of the weekend. Only guys to get a win here. The people are sabotaging me here.
Your enemies are after you.
Hey, bruh. That third space. This is how I know. Third place is coming. This is how I know it. My third place is just big as of a dream as cloud as quadruple.
Wonga, this is just the introduction. We don't say... This is how you're doing.
I love it, sure.
Claudia, how are you doing?
Settle. I'm unlike Wonga, who thinks the Illuminati are kicking him off the show. I'm doing all right because I see black and white, and I'm seeing the boys are getting some tired legs, but they're still putting in performances that we can still be proud of. So I'm happy from a Liverpool perspective.
No, okay, that's all good. Louis, how's it going? Thanks for tuning in as always, guys. If you're in the comment section, please do comment. We obviously would like to engage with you guys on the show. The show is not just about us. The show is about you guys, the fans, the GLTV squad. And guys, don't forget, guys, you guys can still get this top that I'm wearing. Just ask Claudio where to get it, and he'll obviously tell you. You can get your GLTV merchandise. Probably there might be other merchandise to launch, but I don't know if Claudio is a black swan or something of that sort. But yeah, guys, let's obviously, we know that the Premier League is happening, but also there is also the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup. We're going to start with the CAF Confederations Cup, where Orlando Pirates won 2-1 against Al Ahly Tripoli, which is a team from Libya. They won 2-1 away from home. I think they probably should have gotten a couple more goals with the amount of chances that they had. From what I saw with the highlights, but Wonga, I always like to start with you because I think you're an Orlando Pirates fan, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong.
No, not at the moment. I'm a Sundowns man.
You're Sundowns man, okay? Tell us about the Bacania in terms of this game. What do you think of their first league performance? If you did watch the game or highlights, or what do you think of the result in itself?
Now, look, I did not watch the game with the highlights, but I mean the result is a good one, and I think, from the previous game, I think getting the result in the first leg, that's what you would always want. And yeah, I think that will definitely help them come next match. But I mean, hearing what you're saying, I mean, missing many opportunities. That can be, I don't know, sometimes it can be a demoralizer going into another leg. I mean, you saw Pep when they lost when they had the first leg against Madrid, very disappointed at the chances they lost, and next match it ended up biting them. But let's just hope they get through it. Because what you said is 2-1, so that's a close one. So yeah.
No, definitely. And then Claudio, since you are a Buccaneer fan, I don't know what you think of this result.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good for, like, we always talk about flying the South African flag high, and it's good that someone's got to do it. So despite the fact that Nick said they're not going to have a junior academy anymore, they might as well do well in the first team only. So they've got no excuses. So, yeah, from my side, I'm super pleased. Flying those bones high, scaring the rest of Africa. It's a pity it is only in the Confederations Cup, but nonetheless, we will take it. We will take it from the South African perspective.
You know, when you're saying flying the South African flag high, I think this is where I'm going to ask Matt. How there's been this topic in South African circles, right? Of you know, Orlando Pirates is the only South African team still competing in Africa, right? And they feel that other team supporters should be supporting them. So Kaizer Chiefs and Mamelodi Sundowns and Cape Town City, SuperSport United, Tux, whoever, all the other teams should be all supporting Orlando Pirates in this. So that's like you supporting Wanga in the Champions League. You know, how do you feel about that? Do you feel it's right to be supporting you and your rivals just because they're representing the country?
I don't know. It's one of those tough ones because, and for me, it always depends on who's playing and who's playing who. You know, it's not as simple as just because this is my country, I'm going to support that club. Because and it works both ways. Because remember when we had old Chris Payak on from and chatting to us about Liverpool, and he was saying how much he hates supporting England because he hates Harry Kane and he hated Wayne Rooney. And so it's kind of like now Liverpool want everyone behind them because they're the English team in the Champions League.
Who said that, Matt? When you say that, they want everyone behind them.
No, he did. He did. And I actually just heard now the Liverpool contingent, the Liverpool fans, the Scousers, the true Scousers, see themselves as not English. Their nationality is Scouse. So they don't care. And sorry, but carry on, Matt. They don't care about
that. That said, in this particular case, with the Liverpool one, I actually do kind of want Liverpool to beat Real Madrid in the final because it potentially pushes down their Champions League spots to fifth. And you know, so that it somewhat selfishly maybe gives Spurs a chance to get into the Champions League because they'll qualify automatically then as champions. And then I think then we end up getting an extra slot from the Premier League then, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what last time, yeah.
But, and so back to the South African one, I think with Pirates, I think unless you're kind of a Chiefs fan, it's probably it feels okay supporting Pirates, you know, continentally. But for example, if it was Arsenal in the Champions League final, I don't care what it means for us. I'm not supporting them. Like I wouldn't be able to bring myself to. It wouldn't feel real. I don't think I could even fake it. You know, I don't even think I could be happy for Wonga. It would just be kind of like, well, that's happened. I'm gonna do something else that day. It's a tough 100%. One. And I suppose it's the same for you, Selo. I mean, are you gonna be able to cheer for Liverpool?
No, I can't cheer for rivals, you know, whether it's South African or English, you know, I can't, you know, I literally, you know, I'm happy that Real Madrid is in the final because I would have hated watching Man City and Liverpool in the final because I would have watched that game like, just like, okay, what's happening? I would have just watched it as a football fan, but not actually supporting any one side. I would just watch that game and both sides, I don't like it. You know what I mean? Man City's first title and then obviously Liverpool extending obviously their successes as the most successful English team in Europe. I would have hated it. So similarly now, I can't support Orlando Pirates in Africa and say, hey, all the best Orlando Pirates, you're flying the South African flag high. Fuck that bullshit. Kaizer Chiefs was in the CAF Champions League final last season against Al Ahly, and no one is supporting us when we were playing against Al Ahly. You know what I mean? So, Nick, what do you think around this whole thing of you should support the team that's from your I guess your country or the, you know?
Yeah, I personally I'm for it. I always I've always I've always said, like, I've supported English teams, especially in the latter stages of European competition, but I think it's very fickle when it comes to South African supporters, because we support our team when we want to support our team. That goes from the national team right down to club level. I think there was a cool tweet the other day from one of the, it's actually quite a sad tweet from one of the journalists at the FNB stadium. You know, we cried for fans to be back in stadiums, and FNB can't even put 2,000 people in the stadium. Yeah. So I think there's a deeper problem within South African football. I think if you had to take it to sort more of an English level, you know, it is tribal, if you want to call it that, between your Liverpools, your Man Uniteds, and the rest. But I don't know. I'll be rooting for Liverpool. I don't know if anybody else will. I don't think Man United, true Man United fans will be.
I would be.
I think if there's no true rival.
No one here. So wait, can we all agree except
Nick,
maybe possibly Nick? Nick,
Nick, Nick and Matt. Nick and Matt. Matt, Nick and Matt only. Me,
if
Matt,
I had to pick
zero.
One, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Liverpool.
You're getting zero from me and Wonga, Claudio.
So, Matt, so just based on Matt's, Matt, your comment about if they do win it, they don't get it, they don't get another spot. England don't get another spot. They
it's only
allow
24
teams.
Really?
2024, they had a meeting, I think it was today, about potentially, I don't know if it's confirmed.
Okay.
That they're going to do two extra spots for the best performing teams.
It's
and
confirmed.
For the last three seasons, is it confirmed? Performing countries in the last three seasons. So England would have been the best performing team for the last 3 years, and then
and
in that case, fifth place would have been given a spot. So
And Netherlands would have also gotten a spot, apparently, because obviously I think Ajax's runs and now final games of Conference League, which I think is unfair. But yeah. And then the other side of things with the CAF Champions League, I think
the real South African flag, Sillo. The real
I think in this match we can say the South African flag was flown. Percy Tau scored two goals, assisted another goal, and then Pitu Mosimane, obviously, is the manager for Al Ahly. They won convincingly against Setif 4-0, and then Wydad 1-3-1 in Angola. Claudio, did you watch? What am I saying? Did you watch? There was a watch along. There was a watch along on TikTok with Nick Wonga and Claudio. Can you just get your thoughts about this, the Al Ahly game, because that's the game that you guys watched.
Look, I think for me, it was if you watched the whole, looking at the whole game, summing it up, I think Al Ahly were never gonna lose it. There were times they slowed down play, but just when they wanted the goals, you could see it, and there's nothing that the White Dad could do. It was like an onslaught when they came at them. And big ups to Percy Tau, the two assists and one goal. Like Claudio said, I think this is truly flying the African flag. He did very well. But I mean, the team itself, I think, they were just way too strong for White Dad. I don't even see what's going to happen come this. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I mean,
Satif,
I don't think Wydad are going to...
No, Satif, Wonga. Satif. Wydad won the other game, man. Satif. Come on, Wonga. Come on. What game were you watching? Claudio, can you please tell us some what do you think about the game? Because it seems like Wonga was watching the wrong game.
No, it's crazy because he was watching the game with us. So I don't know what much glasses or he needs glasses. Must check those eyes.
You guys must have used these illegal streams. You got to watch the legit channel, guys.
We can't actually confirm he was watching the same game we were watching. We can't confirm that. But he was on the other end having the same conversation. I do think it was incredibly, incredibly one-sided. It was crazy that from the onset, Al Ahly were dominant. And then Setif got a man sent off. And it literally looked like a routine warm-up game for them. That's how convincing that victory was. And in the end, 4-0 actually flatters Setif, to be honest. I think that when we saw the manager's face at halftime, he looked completely distressed. And we still commented on that. We still said, how does a manager go into halftime with a face looking like that? How's he meant to motivate his players? And he didn't really. So it was them hanging on. And I think the tie's gone far beyond them now. And I think it's safe to say that Pizzo's got a comfortable rotation coming for the second leg, and they've got more than one foot in the door for the final. They've possibly got both feet and as well as kit. I think the only thing they need to put on is sweatbands, because that's the last thing that they need to take with them. They're pretty much there.
I don't know if you agree, Claudio, that red card sort of ruined the game from a neutral's perspective. Because if there was any chance, of Ulster team getting back into the game, it was completely, or get anything from the game, it was completely gone with that red card. So I agree with everything that Claudio said. It was so one-sided, it almost became so predictable about what was going to happen. And they could have actually scored more, if we're honest. I don't know if you agree, Claudio.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I think it's one of those where, red card, it was a fair red card, but yeah, it does spoil it for the neutral perspective, let's see obviously what happens in the in the second legs in both matches, but I think we can actually write it that it will be Wydad versus Al Ahly in the final. And there's been some controversy that I'll probably just add to the show about where the final is going to be held. The final will be held in Morocco for the second year in a row, and it's a bit dubious in the fact that Senegal was the other country willing to host the final, but Morocco is willing to bear all the costs for the final, whereas Senegal wasn't willing to bear all the costs. So obviously Morocco is strategic. They saw that one of their teams is in the semi-final, and they say, "Hey, listen, we'll put all the money, we'll pay for all the costs strategically now." And then now, obviously, now the final is going to be in Morocco, where I think it's a disadvantage to Al Ahly, where now they're playing basically an away game, where they're going to be playing in Wydad's stadium. Matt, what do you think about that? Because I can see your face is like, what the fuck's going on?
Is it normal for the venue to be confirmed so late in the process?
It's African football. They could confirm it the day before the final.
Just change it up. Just because we changed our mind. I don't feel like driving today. We're doing it here.
Safa, I know Safa and the South Africans are always lurking in the background. So if there's something going wrong, if there's tension in a country or there's government issues, Danny O'Don always pipes up and says, "You can come here to our world-class stadiums, the World Cup that we hosted 12 years ago, to try and get some usage out of it."
Yeah, but it's madness. It's madness. So yeah, the final is going to be in Morocco, which I think is unfair for Al Ahly. I think it should have been decided before the tournament started. So if that's better, knowing that it will be in Morocco before you start, than actually deciding in the semifinals. But yeah, that's African football for you guys. And all those who do keep up to date with our social media platforms, guys, we will have other watch-alongs. Just watch out on our social media pages on which games we'll have the watch-alongs for into the CAF Champions League and other tournaments that come up as well. Claudia, it seems like you wanted to say something there.
No, Nick actually had a great idea on Saturday. We might even do a watch along for the final day of the Premier League. So just watch out for that.
Ooh. That's a great idea. That's a great idea, guys. You heard that? Watch along for the Premier League final day. Just keep out in terms of our social media pages, and obviously we'll communicate in other shows. But yeah, guys, that is African football done in a nutshell. There's probably other stuff we could talk about in African football, but let's go, obviously to the UK. And I think the first topic is the one that has Matt back on the show, probably. And has Claudio
no surprise
right now.
Coincidence? I think not.
I'm here mainly because it's North London Derby week. I had to be here because I needed to hear Wonga claiming, he thinks they're going to walk away from the end of this week suddenly like top three or something. And I just need to be here because then I want to be here next week when it's not the case.
I hear you.
Christopher's Lawrence is saying there what? No, Christopher, you need to have a bit more confidence.
I said it's I'm with Wonga. That's your fourth and maybe third. Good vibes. Okay. And then Sam says, nice one with a wink. And then Pum says, welcome back, Silo Maguire and Mr. Spurs. I don't know who Silo Maguire is. And then Louis says, Wonga Arteta. And then Sam says, Wonga Ramsdale. I think I'll go with Wonga Ramsdale. Wonga Shaka. It's Wonga Shaka.
Wonga Shaka. Pum, you need
Shaka.
To tell the people. That's the real name.
Wonga Shaka,
there.
Guys. That's the real name, guys. Wonga Shaka. But Matt, is this a fair statement? or is this just we're not sure.
Look, I think the scale is firmly tipped towards City now. City have to basically mess up twice, or just once, because the goal difference should be overturned. Then, as long as if Liverpool, you know, if they lose a game, if City lose one of their games, Liverpool should be able to overturn the goal difference and potentially be first. That's a big ask. So I think it is, it's certainly dented the title challenge in a big way. I think I think if City win it, this will be the result that Liverpool look back and say that's where we lost touch with them. Which, you know, to what Claudio was saying last week, it's still a fair thing. They've run them again. Last time City won the league, Liverpool took them to the final day or day before, or the final, second last game, whatever it was that season. And I think that's fair. I think City and Liverpool between them have shown the level of consistency. Both of them will be deserved champions. Whichever one of them ends up winning the league will fully deserve it. There's no kind of luck or whatever about it. They've both been amazing. But yeah, the Spurs, I think, went out with a really good game plan on the weekend. And I think it was weird, because if you'd offered any Spurs fan a draw before the game, we would have taken it. But then by the end, it was kind of like, you know, we should have nicked the win there. You know, it really felt like we should have just stolen the win right at the end. But I don't know. Claudio, how do you feel as a Liverpool fan? Do you think that's it for the title challenge?
I think at the moment, Nick and Wonga saw my face. It wasn't the best. It wasn't my best face, I can tell you that much. I'm a Liverpool fan for a reason, and as a Liverpool fan, we always, you know, we hope for the best no matter what the circumstance is. So until that fat lady sings, it's not over. Although, like you said, the scales are definitely tipped towards Man City. But at the same time, Man City have just come off the back of that 5-0 victory over Newcastle with a couple of injuries. Ruben Dias out, John Stones is out, Nathan Ake is possibly out. We know Kyle Walker's definitely out. So those are three key players in their back line that are out. So when you're looking at that, you know, for something, I say this time and time again, for something like a quadruple to happen, everyone says it's virtually impossible. You just need all the things to align. And if that's something that falls in place for Liverpool to get across the line, then it is. Then it's just been written in the stars. But that said, for it to happen, it's just the fact that we only have, three more weeks left of the season, and they're still in the shot of all four trophies. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I'm sitting here, regardless of everything.
This is the best, apparently, that side has ever done in terms of chasing a quadruple.
Well, they've played every game available this season. They will have played, by the end of the season, they will have played every game available to them. And I don't think that's ever been done. That is a very impressive achievement, and I don't think we can take that away from Liverpool. What they have put together this season is very impressive. I think that what will be sad is if they don't get it over the line with at least the Champions League, it'll be a season that ends up getting forgotten, because it'll just be a League Cup or whatever, you know. And
100%.
And so I think they've got to at least get the Champions League so that people look back on this season and kind of really appreciate what it was. It is.
And I think I said prior to this, I said for what Klopp has done and the squad that he has, and obviously it's gotten better now with this last window, is that this season what they needed minimum was a trophy. The irony to that fact is they've delivered on a trophy, and now they can go one step further. And now to the point is, if they get anything less than two trophies, it seems it's going to be a massive disappointment, largely because of what they have achieved so far.
Yeah.
So that's the thing of managing the expectation. I do think Man City are feeling the heat, regardless of the fact that they've nudged ahead. I mean, Pep's comments coming out saying everyone's supporting Liverpool, that he's just stirring up trouble, because he knows he's feeling the pressure a little bit, because now the pressure's on them to deliver the Premier League title. Don't do that. So that's for us. We've got nothing to lose here apart from four trophies. we've already got the one.
Can we touch on Klopp's comments after the game and what he said about Spurs and them not, you know, obviously their tactics wasn't, you know, how he plays football. You know what I mean? I think guys, Klopp sometimes is a freaking, he is.
Why are you sour about this comments? Because he reminds me, and what makes me like him even more, is because he reminds me exactly of something what Ferguson would say. And I hated Ferguson for every bit for that. But he did that, and it worked every single time. So when I'm seeing it, I'm like, this is what it feels like. This is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, now you want to say
nice. It feels nice when obviously your manager says it when you guys are winning. But I'm here to host the Go Lounge TV. So how do you guys feel about that?
I thought I'd chip in there because it was, he said it straight after the game and I saw it like immediately. And so on the one hand, part of me thought, you know, that is a bit of, you know, there's a bit of sour grapes there because Spurs didn't just park the bus. There was quite a clear transition.
Yeah.
They were quick on the counter and they scored first. So you can't really say they just came there. But at the same time, I also expect managers to get a little bit passionate. Look at Conte. Look at some of the stuff he has said after Spurs have lost. You know, he's also kind of flown off the handle. And also, I think Klopp, was it today, he came out and apologized for it. He said he, you know, shouldn't have said what he said, whatever. And I think, you know, these things get said. I don't think any lasting damage really got done. I think also it's fair for him to be frustrated. You know, the pressure of chasing this quadruple, can you imagine what that's been like for him, you know? And for him to have a little outburst, it's not like he really, you know, got overly personal and slammed any individuals. I think it's fairly harmless in the long run. I do think it points to potentially something they might want to revisit behind the scenes, because it was clear, even against us, it was clear that they were struggling to find a plan B once Spurs kind of set up the way they did. Even quite late in the second half, there were times where they weren't finding that incisive thing. And it was surprising that Salah had a really hard day. I think Ben Davies in particular had a fantastic game against Salah, really kind of must have spent weeks studying his style, because he seemed to know when Salah was going to turn before he did. And I think that's still where Liverpool are struggling, when they don't have somebody else. And when Jota came on, I was worried. I must say, I thought he could really change things up. But again, he seemed to struggle to find space. Obviously, Spurs were being very compact. And I just think that it's games like that where Liverpool do show a slight weakness. But again, on balance over the course of the whole season, it's not really that bad. Look where they are. Look where they're
playing. I mean, taking consideration that you're not just playing a Burnley who's sitting deep. You're playing a Conte side sitting deep who's had the whole week to prepare, and Liverpool have been playing a game every 3 days. So there's a bit of fatigue. And also in the game that we're looking at in particular, it's the most most crosses they've put into a game, I think, all season. So it also shows that they were running out of ideas, but that also it is one of the days where the fullbacks weren't at their best. And normally that's also the difference. Are the fullbacks ripping in those crosses? So they weren't that great. So it's just, you know, you throw all these things in together. But I also like what Mpepanduku, I like that last name. I just had to say the last name. His name's Mason Wabe. Mpepanduku said.
Mason Wabe.
How do you pronounce it?
Maswan Wabe. Maswan Wabe. Maswan Wabe. Don't say Mason, please. Maswan Wabe.
I saw Mason because of, obviously I'm talking Spurs here.
Maswan Wabe. But this is not Matt Mason's show, but yeah.
Wait. I just wanted to round off my point though. But Poon saying no more trophy. Louis Murray saying no more trophy. And then just the last point, I just want to talk about this whole Spurs sort of thing. And I know Klopp said the comments, but you know, with Mourinho, everyone criticized that he was negative and pragmatic and. But Conte does it and everyone lauds him as this genius. So explain that to me.
So I will. So the difference is, I watched a lot of Mourinho games and I obviously watched this Conte game. When Mourinho was doing it, it was literally there was Harry Kane up front on his own and they were just launching balls and hoping for the best. There wasn't a proper, it wasn't a tactical plan. Here with Conte, you could see it had been really well thought out. There was a much different feel to it. We kept feeling dangerous. Like even though we were sitting 10 men behind the ball and there was that shifting line of the midfield defense kind of moving and forcing you guys to move in straight lines in front of us, there was a clear indication as soon as we got the ball, you saw the way the whole shift changed. The wing backs came running up. Emerson Royale had an absolute blinder of a game. The movement was incredible. And it was just the difference in transitions for Spurs was night and day compared to how we were playing under Mourinho. And I think that's the big difference for us. When we were doing it with Mourinho, it was like a desperate hold on, let's just not concede. Whereas here, Conte said, if we play this way, we could potentially win this game. And I really feel we could have snatched a win. I don't think it would have necessarily been 100% deserved. I do think a draw was a fair result. But Spurs came very close to winning. You guys, your goal was deflected. And there was a couple of chances for Spurs to steal it at the end. So I think, it felt completely, as a Spurs fan, it felt different watching this than to watching the worst examples of Mourinho's tactics.
Okay, fine. I'll let you have that one.
That's enough chat about a 1-1 result. I think
yes.
we need to go to the you know, the Etihad and what happened there. Nick, what are your thoughts on this game? Obviously, I think, you know, you guys caught City after, you know, the Champions League exit, which could have gone anywhere in terms of this particular result. So I think you guys obviously faced a wounded animal. What are your thoughts on this game, just from a Newcastle perspective, and also just to think about Man City, since we have no one who supports that club in South Africa? Sorry, Louis.
Well, I would say it's always good to see the Oil Clasico play out, even though it's a little bit one-sided at the moment. I might add another stat there to Matt. Liverpool has played every single game, or will play every single game possible. Newcastle will play the least amount of football that you can play as a Premier League team. We got knocked out of the first round of the League Cup, and we got knocked out in the first round, well, the third round of the FA Cup, which is the first round of the FA Cup team. So it just shows you how far we actually are, just to put it into perspective. But I think, if I'm honest with you, like, City were world class. They really did turn it on, and they didn't really get out of third gear. If I'm truly honest, I think they got the two goals and felt that they needed to take Ruben off. Although I do hear he was injured, but I think if they were in a little bit of bother, they probably would have kept him on because he was doing quite well. I do think there was a moment Chris Wood can put us ahead. There's a moment when we have a goal disallowed to make it 1-1. And then Callum Wilson at 3-0 down has 2-1-1 on one and one tap.
1-1, yeah.
And you know, on a different day, those go in. You know, he's just come back off a 5-month layover. So I just don't think it was our day. And this result was always going to happen. A team like Man City will find out our flaws. And, you know, unfortunately for us, that happened. I do think it just shows that we are probably about six players short of having a real competitive team next year that can maybe challenge for a top eight or a top six. We're very far from it. We don't have the depth. We get one or two injuries and that's that. So, unfortunately for us, we're going to just sort of limp over the line. I think we will have something to say in the race, Matt and Wonga, with the top four. I don't think any team has really cruised to a victory at St. James's Park in a very long time. I think Liverpool came there and only won 1-0, so I think that will be up for grabs. Matt, I think you won 5-0 at home.
No, it was. I'm sure it was at St. James Park.
No, that was definitely at the White Hart Lane Stadium.
But I agree so much with you in terms of you, Nick. I think, yeah, man, you guys were facing a wounded animal, and then City were just up for it in that game. And the half chances that you do get, whereas the half chances that Man City gets, and the Dubravka making a mistake. Do you think that's one area that you guys need to reinforce or to sign someone?
A lot of people in goal. A lot of people have been saying that. I do think if we kick on and, you know, we're serious European contenders to get into your Europa Leagues or your Champions Leagues, maybe we do need to look at someone else. But, guys, I can't tell you the amount of times that guy saved us. Like, I think every keeper is due a blunder now and then, you know. Yeah. So he's been one of our best players for the last couple of seasons. So he's number one for Slovakia. So I don't know. I think you know, if Eddie Howe and the way I see they go into the next window, I think they'll be cautious. I don't think they're going to spend ridiculous amounts of money. I think they will spend a lot of money, but they're not going to sign your already sort of proven superstars that are playing in the Champions League. It might be the likes of your striker from Benfica, Darwin. You know, another fine like Bruno in the French league.
Would you sign Dean Henderson from Man United in goals?
I would. And you know, I think that's healthy competition for Dubravka, and I think that's a healthy competition for Dean Henderson. I don't think he's going to go anywhere unless he's guaranteed first team football. But I do think we have other issues more so than an actual goalkeeper, if I'm honest with you. I think we need to sign probably two strikers. We probably need another midfielder. We need probably another two centre halves. So we got to bolster that spine to give Bruno and the rest of the probably more standout players a chance. You know, you look at the same maximum against a Man City, he's got zero chance. He's got no chance because he's not going to get the ball. He's not a player who's going to defend for you. He was at fault for one of the goals, but he's the sort of player that you shouldn't be looking at his defensive attributes, and you should be looking at what he can do when you get given the service. Yeah. So, I do think we are short of a couple of players, but I don't see many teams in that sort of middle belt of the Premier League much better than us. I think everyone's quite equal in that sense. And I think the checkbook in the summer is going to count. And the manager that spends not the most, but I think the best, will more than likely get the best out of the squad and the club that he has. So, yeah, excited times for us. I think we just excited for the summer. Three games to go with no real pressure. Just on City, I think they just show why they are potentially going to be the champions of England. You know, a wounded animal, exactly that. And, you know, anyone they bring on, you know, they brought on a young centre-half, and he made a through ball. I think he was in the build-up for one of the goals. He was only on for like 3 minutes. So they've got a lot of depth. And, yeah, good luck to them. I would like Liverpool to win the league. And I would like to think there is a slip-up waiting. But if they play like
that... Don't say that too loud. Pep Guardiola is going to say everyone's supporting Liverpool.
I think for me, it's not necessarily because I like Liverpool more so than I do City. I think it's equal in terms of how I feel about them. But the chances of seeing a quadruple in our lifetime are very slim. And this is probably the closest we'll get. So
we don't want to see it.
It'll be the first team to do it before Newcastle do it. So they might as well let someone start, you know.
I don't know what your reason is, but Wonga doesn't want it to happen because on our show on the weekend, an Arsenal fan literally said, "If Liverpool do this, it will overshadow what they did with the unbeaten season." An Arsenal fan agreed and said that.
That's fair. But can I bring in, you know, Nick touched on something there in terms of City's depth is obviously immense, right? And, you know, with the news today that they made a signing, they have signed Erling Haaland today. That obviously bolsters their number 9 ranks, where I think it has just been Gabriel Jesus. And Gabriel Jesus has only picked up form in the second half of the season, right? He's been obviously on form and hitting the goals. But now they've signed, you know, one of the best young strikers in the world. You know, Wonga, what do you think this does for City? Does this, you know, make City already favourites for next season, or does this help City get the Champions League that they so desire?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'd also go as far as to saying he's one of the best strikers in the world, never mind his age. Definitely going to help them. I think he can probably get fit into any team, the way he plays. And looking at a Man City, the service they're going to be giving him, the work rate he has. I mean, he's got 62 in, what, I think 66, they say.
It's ridiculous.
He's 21. It's literally you're hitting Ronaldo, Messi numbers. I mean, and even Mbappe's somewhere around there as well. Mostly hitting ridiculous numbers. But now he's going to come to a City. They're already scoring over 80 goals in a year. Now he's probably going to add to it. I mean, he's doing this at Dortmund, Borussia. Not to say that they're a pub team, but the numbers are nowhere near City's numbers. It's going to be ridiculous. And I say definitely City are going to sign a couple of new players come the next transfer window. Haaland won't be the only buy they have. I think next year, if Pep is also there as well, late. You can just look at second, third, and fourth.
No, they're definitely. I think it's a great signing for them. Obviously being on the other side of Manchester, it's not looking good in terms of that. It just seems like it's a continuous you know, putting in a piece of the puzzle that they require, but also let's see how we can adjust to the Premier League and adjust to the side in itself. Obviously, I think some players take some time to adjust to Pep's methods. You know, your Zlatan Ibrahimovic took a bit of time to adjust to him at Barca, and obviously it wasn't really as successful as you probably would have liked. Mm. And now moving to the other side of the table, you know, Everton just keep on keeping on, guys. Everton getting another victory, 3 points against the Leicester. That is probably season's already over. That's probably thinking about being on a beach somewhere in a nice summery place. Let me come to you, Matt. What do you think of Everton's resurgence? Obviously, they've gotten now two wins on the trot.
Yeah, it's a great turnaround of form for them. I think a lot of people have written them off. I think that they've still got to do the job. There's still a bit to do. Leeds, I think, are now probably looking the most at risk as of today. Just because they, you know, Leeds had a complete first half collapse against Arsenal. And it surprised me, to be honest. I thought, in the second half, Arsenal kind of almost wet the bed because then they suddenly let Leeds back into the game for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that Leeds will probably end up kicking themselves for not at least getting a point out of that game come the end, because I think they probably needed that. But Everton, yeah, they've given themselves every chance. Not easy, obviously, at this stage, because they've still got to play. They've got to play. They're still playing Brentford, I think, is one of theirs, if I'm not mistaken, and Brighton. And I think those are going to be tough games. Although by then those teams might have their sandals on, so they could end up pulling this off. I think it would be one of the better escapes we've seen in recent years. But been fairly impressed. And I think also Lampard, in fairness to Lampard, he's proved a couple of the doubters wrong, because he's pulled out some decent results and decent performances when people had already kind of written them off. So fair play to him. I think he has figured out how to get the best out of the side. But I do think they're going to have a serious rethink in the summer. I think they need a bit of investment. They need to rethink how they structure themselves. And they do still seem to lack a certain kind of tactical vision. As a side, you can't really say, like most sides, you can look at them and say, that's a counter-attacking side, that's a defensive side, that's an attacking side, that's a pressing side. Everton are a bit all over the place. It kind of depends, you know, they don't seem to have a coherent vision of what they do. So, yeah. But good result.
No, it's true. No, definitely. You know, Nick, what do you think
it's
of
this? I think it's important to note, guys, also that Leicester have been very poor over the last
rubbish
3 months. So,
yeah.
I do think, you know, in terms of the results, Everton need results right now, so it doesn't matter who they come from. But I think Brendan Rodgers has his own problems there, and I think the so-called rebuild that he's going to start couldn't come sooner for him, if I'm honest with you. They sort of went out to obviously Jose Mourinho's Roma, where that would have sort of
been nice, yeah.
Probably would have been good for them, but I think it would have just sort of cast a shadow over their real problems in terms of what's really, you know, really been going on. I think since he's been linked to that Man United job, they haven't really been the same. I'm not saying it's all to him, but I think they've conceded the most goals from set pieces in the league. By far, I think. So I do think he's got a bit of work to do and try rebuild that team, who not even a couple of, for the last couple of seasons, they've been fighting for Champions League spots, not even Europa League or Conference League spots. So good for Everton. I would have loved to have seen them in the scrap. I do think they might just have enough now, and that momentum might carry them over. And I agree with Matt. I think Bielsa's way of playing, and I spoke a lot about it in the past, is going to ultimately be their detriment because of all the goals they conceded. They've conceded so many goals, and I don't see how they pull themselves out of this. But you never know. I think there's a couple of twists and turns until the final day, and let's see what happens.
Definitely. There's a lot. There's still a couple of games. Obviously, there's midweek fixtures, and then a couple more rounds to go. And so let's see what happens. But I think, you know, on the issue of Leeds, you know, they played against Arsenal and they lost 2-1. So before I go to you, Wonga, just Claudio, your thoughts on just Leeds as a side in terms of the relegation battle. Obviously, yeah, we know Leeds is on 34 points, and then Burnley is also on 34 points, but the goal difference is 18 goals difference between between Burnley and Leeds. That is where Sean Dyche's legacy helps Burnley, and then the Bielsa legacy hurts Leeds in terms of the goal difference. And
The swing from Burnley to Leeds is an 18 goal difference.
18 goal difference. It's minus 17 for Burnley, minus 35 for Leeds. That's the legacy of Dyche versus Bielsa. And then Everton is on 35 points with a minus 19. So they're quite similar to Burnley. Claudio, what do you think in terms of Leeds prospects going into the final games of the season? Obviously, they're playing at Chelsea in midweek.
I mean, look, first I would like to start off saying I definitely did not know more than a Leeds fan. And if Darren was saying before Bielsa got sacked they were going down, then we must have really taken his sort of comments into some serious consideration. Because when you're looking at it now, to that, just if you're just mentioning what you just said about Burnley, obviously they had a bit of a bounce with the sacking of Sean Dyche. And their goal difference, you're looking at Leeds now with three games to go. They haven't won in their last three. Their next game's against Chelsea. We know Everton now have picked up a couple of wins. Their next game is against the Watford side, who haven't won in six games. So the likelihood is that Everton will just win this weekend, grow further. We know Burnley are likely, or they are playing Spurs. So that's the saving grace for Leeds to keep them in the hunt for the next two games. So you'd like to say, like, both these sides aren't going to pick up points. But and I mean, also, it's a baptism of fire for Jesse Marsh. He's just come in as an American. His previous experience, obviously, was, you know, from Leipzig. Not on the same sort of pressure in terms of what the Premier League has to offer. So I do think it's an unfortunate situation for him. I think maybe they've got to look with an eye in terms of the rebuilding, what they can do coming up from the Championship, like the likes of Fulham have done in terms of being a bit of a yo-yo club. But that's what they've got to prepare. I know we know Norwich like to do that. They come up, they give it a go, and they try and play this expansive type football that Nick says you really shouldn't be playing to survive. And then they go back down and they come back up again. So I think Leeds need to start thinking like that. And also just think with regards to being a yo-yo club, man. I think, geez, it's a pity because Leeds have that heritage. They've got the support, and they just need to find some stability now. And obviously, like Nick was saying, with Bielsa, it wasn't going to be there, and I'm just bummed because it looks like we're going to have Burnley again.
The pub team is going to stay up, but let's see what they do in terms of managerial changes next season. Maybe they'll become a pub team and become a bit of a fancy team, and maybe become a cocktail club.
I don't mean gastro, not gastro like the flu. I mean,
yes.
I understood it like the flu. I was like, I'm going for a cocktail club,
you know what I mean? But
a little cocktail bar,
Wonga, I think maybe if I should maybe just introduce you and your Arsenal side, is I think I should just maybe bring up this statement that I probably prepared for this show. I think that last part, you've been forcing us to say it, so I had to include it. Arsenal in pole position for fourth and all third, because you've been telling me you guys are going to finish third. Matt, want to say something first before?
I just feel like this is a troublesome statement, because I do feel like they're currently pole position for fourth. I think you've got to hand it to them. I think they're favourite for fourth at the moment. They're definitely not favourites for third. I mean, don't get me wrong, Chelsea have been wetting the bed a bit, but they'd have to really, really screw the pooch to not hold on to third now.
Yeah, it's a 1 point difference. So Wonga, let's hear what you have to say in terms of your performance on the weekend.
So I mean, look, our performance on the weekend, I think it was good. Got the goals early. It was also pressure applied on them. It was actually unforced errors. We got the goals of that. And that sort of, you could see that sort of, destabilized them. Because I think in that they really wanted to win that game. You could see it, from the reaction of after those two goals. The guys were, I mean, the tackles ended up being horrible after that. Who was it? That got that red card now. Absolutely. Ailing, yes. Unnecessary. It was by the corner. He could have literally just jockeyed him. But he jumping in the tackle. I mean, as soon as you go check the, I don't know how long, how it took the ref. I mean, the guys in the VAR, I tell you, those guys, I mean, gee whiz, I mean, I should apply for a job there. I mean, they're scared to make any decision. That guy was in the air. You can see
Wonga's
in
the not air. Afraid.
No, but Wonga, the guidance is that you need to tell the ref to go and have a look.
But they don't always do it.
Tell him what to do. Tell him,
yes,
have a look for yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you see, this is the... I don't want to go into another argument now, but this is the problem. The problem with this VAR, the guy should be able to tell him, you know, he should be able to advise him, properly. I mean, now he's gone. They've taken a long time to look at that thing. Eh? For me, that's a clear decision. I mean, no one can... You can't even argue against it, even if the guys upstairs give it to you. Nonetheless, I think, yeah, the way we scored our goals,
Yes, won the game, but you're really complaining about VAR, man. I think you need to help the rebuild of VAR, but in terms of your chances for fourth, going into this week and the final 2 weeks, what do you think are you guys nailed on fourth and now fighting for third, or is it that you kind of need to win the North London Derby and then you guys are fourth? Guaranteed fourth.
I think it would be put ourselves in a good position. The results against Tottenham will determine it. I think a draw or a win.
A win guarantees it.
Mm. And a win also then puts us in third place. And then Chelsea would have to obviously do their position.
Chelsea's playing before you guys. They're playing Leeds before you guys.
Oh, is it? They're playing Leeds? Thank you.
They're playing Leeds. They would be ahead of you guys before you. I don't know why you're saying thank you, but yeah.
Listen, before we go, I've been saying this for a long time. I've been saying, you know, we're out there, I said top four, guys like, yeah, okay, now we're top four. And then I said top three, and we're a couple of points away, now we're 1 point away. I want to say it. Leeds. They've suffered a defeat against us, and I've seen them. They're not too happy about it. The players want to stay up, and I think Chelsea are going to be taken for a run for their money. If they get a draw, even, I don't think it's enough for them to hold that spot.
Focus on getting Champions League football. Now you're thinking ahead. You're going to come to St James's Park and you're going to lose. And then what are you going to think?
Yeah, you're going to be Icarus. Right? You're flying too close to the sun. And then,
he's jumping the gun, guys. I don't know.
I'd rather be confident after
the North London Derby if you goes well for you. Not before.
That second half that you guys put out against Leeds, if you took that kind of performance to St. James's Park, you will lose the game. And I think that's, for me, again, that was that Arsenal have had that soft underbelly, and we thought for a while it was gone, and then it showed itself again.
But we never lost the game. This is what I'm trying to say.
We won the game.
That's what I'm trying to say. But we did that despite that.
And they got a goal back.
We won the game. That was the most important thing. We won the game.
Let's just briefly chat about the team that you're apparently fighting for third with. Nick, what do you think has gone wrong for Chelsea? They lost to Everton and now they've drawn against Wolves, kind of bring themselves towards Wonga and Spurs instead of going towards safety and securing third, before the final three rounds, the final two rounds.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio now. It's a tricky one for Chelsea. I think the first two thirds of the season they were there and thereabouts with the title challenge, but obviously recent sort of things that have been going on and around the club, around the world, have put the club in a little bit of limbo. It looks like the club's going to be sold now. And I don't know. It's a strange one. It's very tough. Must be very tough for the coach.
It is.
He doesn't know if he's going to be able to buy players next season. He's not sure if he can keep his current players. He's not sure if he can even renew contracts of some of the players that he wants. So, I think it's been a tough ride for them. I think that's a very good squad they have there, guys. Like, let's be honest, they won the Champions League not too long ago. So, I do think if they can acquire a little bit of stability within the next 2 weeks or so and go into the summer knowing exactly which sort of direction they're going into, they'll be fine next year. And if they can continue sort of strengthening in areas, they probably need to get another two center halves, probably a left back. Would you get another striker? I don't know. I would probably stick with Lukaku and see if they can try get the best out of him. And you never know. They might be pushing the likes of Man City and Liverpool. But I think they also just want to get the season over and done with. But as Matt said, they're right in too close to the sun in Arsenal, thinking they might get third. But Chelsea are right in too close to the sun. But potentially, I don't think it will happen, but potentially falling out of top four. I think they will finish the season strong, and yeah, let's see.
Yeah, I think with what Pums is saying is quite hit the nail on the head. Too many uncertainties, as you alluded to, Nick. There, you know, they at least still have something to play for, which is this coming Saturday in the FA Cup final against Liverpool. So they'll probably wanna go into that game, play Leeds midweek, have a good result against Leeds, have some momentum going into the cup final, and then obviously avenge the League Cup defeat, where I think they should have won the League Cup against Liverpool. But, you know, this is obviously, I think Liverpool's in a much better position going into this game, where, you know, they actually look, you know, obviously, I think heads-on favourite to actually win this FA Cup final. But let's see what happens with Chelsea. The last game that we're just going to touch on, obviously, I think it would be a miss of myself not to touch on this, but I think not to talk about the result more than anything. We can touch on the result. There's a lot being said about Ralph Rangnick. I think the fans are happy with him in terms of what he's said about the hierarchy of the club, in terms of how the club is being run. But some ex-players are saying that he shouldn't be airing out the dirty laundry of the club out to the media. And yeah, obviously the result, 4-0 against Brighton. You know, we lost 4-0 against Brighton. These guys, I think, you know, when they say people have down tools, you know, they talk about this side. And I think, you know, it's actually petulant of them to be doing such things, you know. It's actually rubbish. But just from those who are outside, Claudio, I think let me give it to you, because I think out of everyone here, your club has run the best out of everyone who's on the show tonight. So, what do you think of Rangnick trying to voice out certain things he probably wants to be done within the club? Or how he's going about it. You know, I mean, obviously, I think he's obviously had successes with Hoffenheim and successes with the Red Bull Group. What do you think of his tenure? I think it was always going to be tricky as an interim manager. Just being interim. You know, I think if you're a manager and you have a contract, I think it's obviously a bit more certainty for the club. But what do you think of his comments of what should be done with the club?
Look, I think Rangnick is a very intelligent man. As Matt will tell you, being a consultant is a particular role that one plays. You come in there, you assess the situation, you're allowed to say what it is that you think, and, you know, at the end of the day...
Please don't tar me with the Rangnick brush.
No. But what I'm saying is, on the real though, you're allowed to say what you see without feeling the weight of the comments, you know, being fired back at you. So what's quite interesting is he hasn't delivered in what he's meant to deliver. To be fair, the brief in which he received hasn't been very clear, and the mandate that was given, he hasn't been told, like, to execute what he was told to do. So it's easy for him to pass the buck. He's not getting results. He's blaming other things. Yes, I think Man United fans are listening to it and going, yeah, he's calling them out. But at the same time, you got to look at him and be like, dude, you were still hired to be a manager. and get results, and you're not getting those results. The players clearly don't respect him for many different reasons. I also think, obviously, we know how toxic the culture is, and he definitely wasn't the character strong enough to manage that or ship that in. I mean, that's the first thing you do as a manager, regardless of whatever the manager balance is, whoever comes in, the first thing you need to do is get the players on side. He didn't do that. So I think from a United perspective, it's incredibly frustrating. I think he, like I said, he's very smart. So how is he still has a consultant job while he's been now officially been given the, is it the head Austrian job as an international manager?
Austrian manager, yeah.
I mean, how should that should never be allowed.
I think that goes to not even having his role defined within Manchester United post the season. You know, I think there, if you tell the guy that you can't work anywhere else and you need to work a certain amount of hours, because apparently he's only going to work 6 hours a week at Manchester United. You work more than 6 hours in a day. You know, on Goal Lounge TV, Claudio, you know, so imagine now 6 hours in a week for Manchester United. So I think that should have probably been properly defined. I think Manchester United in itself as a club is a Mickey Mouse club, or been run like a Mickey Mouse club for the last 3 to 5 years, especially, you know, under Ed Woodward. And there's a lot of changes that they're trying to make. And I think, you can't be allowing, as you said, you can't be allowing a person to be working as a full-time manager elsewhere, but then obviously being a consultant elsewhere. And I think Rangnick has some ideas. Yes, he has some ideas, but I think also, this whole season has been shambolic from Ole and what he did, into obviously the interim manager. There was a bit of a, you know, the new manager bounce, but more of the defensive solidity actually came about where we weren't conceding as many chances under Rangnick. And then after the international break, I don't know what happened. The wheels came off. I don't know if those guys just like, hey, man, I actually like this break, this international break. You know, it's actually quite nice here, man. I think we should just be on holiday forever. So I think they've been just down tools since the international break, which has not been good. But guys, they are midweek fixtures, guys. And I think just so we can wrap up, guys, just some predictions quickly. Scoreline predictions is all I'm going to ask from you. We're going to start with Wanga, Nick, Matt, and then Claudio. The first game is Villa versus Liverpool. Wanga, score your prediction for this game.
Yo, tough one. I think it will be a 2-1 victory to Liverpool.
Nick?
I think 2-0 Liverpool. Funny quick statement, but Gerrard has a hand in the title, potentially. He could give the game to Liverpool tonight and go spoil the party at City.
Yeah, he must. He must give us a nice, easy game. Rest the players. He must let us do this.
So what's the scoreline there, Nick? Or 2-0?
2-0 Liverpool, yeah.
Matt?
I reckon it's going to be 3-1 Liverpool. I think they'll put on a show to make it look like Gerrard didn't completely roll over. But yeah, it's going to be 3-1.
And then... Claudio, obviously your side.
I'm going to go with what Wonga is saying, 2-1. I think it's going to be a tight game. It's just they're going to make us work for it. That's what they're going to do. And also Coutinho also wants to show Klopp. He says, hey, you didn't want me back there. I'm going to try and show you something now. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's see what Darren says. It's going to be 2-1 to Liverpool. Liverpool 1. Okay, I'll look at the Leeds one off when we get there. I think it's going to be a 3-1 victory to Liverpool. Next game is Watford versus Everton. Wanga, what's your prediction here?
Everton. I think Everton will take this 3-1.
I think Watford have nothing to play for, so the pressure's off them. I think 1-1.
Interesting.
Ooh, okay. 1-1.
I think it's going to be 2-1 Everton. I think they've still got that. I think they're going to push right to the end. They're going to take it 2-1.
Claudio?
Yeah, I think Everton are going to win 1-0.
Everton, so you're saying Everton 1-0? Okay.
Yep.
I think I actually agree with Nick. I think Watford will probably just want to actually say that we can still play some football. So I think it's going to be a 1-1 as well in this game. Some span in the works still in the relegation battle. And then the next game is Leeds versus Chelsea. Wanga? Don't think with your heart. Think with your head here, please.
I agree with Darren. It's 1-1.
So Darren says the 1-1 result.
I agree with Darren.
You're saying 1-1 as well.
You want it to be that way, Wonga. 3-0 Chelsea.
Guys, last week I said, imagine how we're going to get ravaged. They did.
Mate, your side?
I reckon Chelsea are going to put it off. I think Leeds are going to put up a fair fight, but I reckon Chelsea are going to win it 2-0.
Do Chelsea rest players ahead of the FA Cup final, though? Does he rotate the squad?
I think he does rotate the squad.
But I still think they're better than Leeds.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Darren's onto something. They're fighting for survival, whereas, you know, Chelsea's rotating players. The second string players are going like, I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Do you, Claudio?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2-0 victory to Chelsea. And then, the next one is Wolves versus Man City.
Wonga? 4-0. It's Man City.
4-0. Okay, 4-0.
0-4.
Nick?
2-0 Man City.
I'm not liking these predictions.
I think City are going to have a problem at the back. I think their defensive injuries, I think they'll concede, but I still think they'll win. I think it's going to be like 3-1 or 4-1.
Okay. Claudia, give us a Wonga type prediction there.
Two words, Connor Cody, former Liverpool player, current Wolves captain. He's going to lead his boys. He's going to get something.
Connor a lot Cody. More than two words.
I said two words for Connor Cody, and then I justified the rest of it. Okay.
The two-word intro, title, and body.
Title and body. Wow. Title, heading, wow. Subheading, and then body. And then maybe,
appendix.
References. No. I'm hoping they get something. It's more hope than head, so more heart than head, rather. So 1-1. 1-1 Wolves.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2-1 win for Man City. As you said, the defensive frailties of defensive injuries won't help them, but yeah, I think they'll still get the result. This one, it's a Thursday fixture, so we'll probably go into a bit more detail on the game on Thursday, but just for the sake of obviously, an early prediction from everyone, the big game of the midweek, the North London Derby that, Wonga apparently had COVID. I'm not you, Wonga, but your players had COVID for.
No, there was no COVID.
I know, there was one player.
One of them was a red card. Player. They had a red card suspension.
Injuries.
But now they're excited.
Wonga, tell us the score line here, Wonga. Think with your heart and not your head.
Look, these games, and I like it this way. Mostly high scoring. I would say a 4-3 to Arsenal.
Claudio, can you please stop clicking, man?
Bro, people are putting their comments in.
I already clicked.
2-1 Spurs to make it interesting.
2-1 Spurs. 2-1 Spurs to make it interesting. Sam also agrees 2-1 to 2-1 Spurs. Okay, Darren, if Arsenal win, no, they don't qualify yet.
If they win, they've guaranteed fourth.
Oh yes, you're actually right. Yeah, you're actually right because it'll be a 7-point gap. It'll be a 7-point gap and can't be overturned.
Two
yes,
games to
you
go.
Are.
Yeah.
You are right, Darren. Yeah, they win the Champions. They get into the Champions League. Matt, what's the prediction here?
2-0 Spurs.
2-0 Spurs. 2-0 Spurs. Yeah. Claudio.
Spurs don't lose. They don't lose. He hasn't lost against the big sides this season, Conte. There's no way he loses. Very least, he gets a draw. But I'm going to go with the Spurs victory 2-1.
Yeah, what a blocker, and I agree with Nick, Claudio, and Claudio. 2-1 victory to Spurs in this game.
That said, I will say he doesn't lose to big teams. So maybe.
What happened last time we played Spurs?
Yeah, you guys won. You haven't won. Of the last 10 at White Hart Lane, you guys have lost 7. So
I say 2-1. And that's all she wrote, Wonga, apparently. You guys are losing this game. Thanks a lot for tuning into the show, guys. Just final thoughts. I'm gonna start the final thoughts with Nick. Nick has to go man the bar at XP Arena. Nick, just tell us what's happening on the 28th of May. Just a little bit, if you can.
We're gonna do a Champions League viewing here at the arena. A couple of TVs, big screens. We're also gonna do a Champions League tournament on the day, so all the teams that enter will be allocate to the team from the last 16 of the Champions League. Each team's guaranteed 7 games, and the winner takes home 10,000 rand. So
you heard
it
that
will
game.
Be exciting. So, yeah, book your place if you guys want a team. Will be quite a fun full day. And nice. I am sure Goal Lounge TV will be there.
No, definitely. Wanga, final thoughts there?
Hey, my final thoughts with Arsenal. I think they can do it. Seal it this week. Seal it against Spurs, especially with that horrid record that Matt was talking about. We must stop that. 7? No.
Matt, what's your final thoughts off the back of what just Wanga just said?
Wanga is incoherent and needs to be stopped. And I think this tiny bit of success has gone to his head. And I think for the good of his sanity, we need to return Arsenal to the mid-table where he's far more comfortable and stable. So Spurs are going to win as a service to you, Wanga. Where it's an intervention. And you're welcome.
Claudio, what are your final thoughts?
The quadruple dream is still alive.
Okay, nice one, guys. But yeah, thanks a lot for everyone who's tuned in to the show tonight, guys. Yeah, remember to like, subscribe, and yeah, all the best to the teams playing midweek fixtures this week, guys. And yeah, if you don't know what to
be cool.
Be cool.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, wait.